Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast with three Hollywood professionals writing the entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and how y'all doing today?
I'm good. It felt like this was just going to be a smooth, straightforward intro. Freddie was just, we didn't interrupt him. He said his thing. He's like, I'm Freddie Wong. And I was like, what's Freddie going to say? And he said, oh, how's everyone doing today? And I'm like, I don't know how to answer that question. I'm Will Campos. I am a screenwriter.
Hi, I'm Matt Arnold.
Energy today.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm getting back in touch with my spiritual side as I'm praying to the ancestors, hoping for some sort of inspiration of how the hell we're going to get this money out of heaven.
I think we're all a little nervous today.
We have a hard question to answer this episode of Story Break. The film that we're writing is a little ditty called Heaven Heist, a story about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven. Coco meets Ocean's 11.
Part isn't robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven. It's how do you get away with the cash?
Anyone can rob it.
And since we started this in July, or whenever we started it, we have been kicking the question down the road.
And last week,
how do they get the money out of heaven?
Last week we had a scene and we're like, know what?
Future, next scene.
Future Matt, Will, and Freddie, they'll figure it out. This scene's going to be about how they don't know what the answer is. And we'll write the next scene next week. And now it's this week. Next week is this week.
Coming at your ear holes. Future Matt, Will, and Freddie have arrived.
Where's my flying car and my jetpack?
Present Matt doesn't like past Matt. And hopefully future Matt has a better time than now Matt.
All right, enough timeline wrangling. It's time to get to it. Clock starts now, baby.
All right, so when we last left our heroes, they had
outlined a heist idea.
They had sort of outlined a caper.
They figured out how they're going to get into heaven.
They figured out kind of how to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And then Tequila was like, wait a second, how are we going to get out? How are you going to get out with the cash? We don't know what we're doing. We need an expert. That's begrudgingly triggers Jin to be like, fine, I'll talk to my brother, because his brother, as we all know, is a Buddhist monk named Freddy, who speaks in a dweeby voice, and I'm very excited for more of that this episode. And so now here's the scene where he talks to Freddy, and so this probably set at the hospital, right?
So yeah, we were talking briefly about what this scene would be, but it's pretty obvious what this scene is, so sorry in advance, this will be a lot of us figuring out how to get the money out of heaven, because
he's broadly,
I think it's going to be Jin's going to go talk to his brother and try to talk to him about religion and stuff, and his brother's going to be suspicious, like, what's this about? And as he's playing his brother's going to let out some information, some theology, some little nugget of spiritual knowledge that makes Jin go, that's how we're going to do it. The problem is, what is that spiritual nugget?
I mean, two things. So one, we still have to figure it out this episode, but it could be like that the brother's like, well, I'll tell you what, if you're curious about, just hear me out.
I know what you're saying, though.
It would be like, come to Bible study with me, right? And then you would do at Bible study, he meets the kid who has the psychic connection with heaven. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be that kind of thing.
If we pass the buck.
But we have to figure it out this episode.
You have to figure it out so that the reason we're passing the buck is for story reasons, not for...
And because to me, what that would be is like that he's going to find the answer, but the price he pays is he is drawn further into a relationship with his brother.
Yes. But it could also be the answer that his brother gives him today. Like, it's not this, but if his brother was like, oh yeah, this is the answer. You got to kill 1,000 children. Like, you got the answer, and then you know that he's going to have to pay the price eventually in order to do it. So it could go either way.
Yeah. But it is, I will say, a part of it is like these scenes with the brother are like, you want to get him kind of more and more roped into being a good person.
Yes.
Right? Like,
on earth, he's going to essentially, like, they're not going to pretend to be a good person in heaven anymore. They're just breaking into heaven. So it's actually fun that he has to pretend to be a good person on earth in order to get help from his brother. That's fun.
Okay, so what's wrong with our initial solution, as per our break, was that they were going to use
the ghost festival,
the time when
the boundary between heaven and the real world.
It feels like whatever the way to get money back from heaven should be thematically relevant and some sort of personal cost to him. Whether even if it's the ghost festival or whatever it is, whether it's like, again, he's going to have to betray his brother. He's going to have to actually be a good person. He's going to have to give up his eternal soul. Like, it feels like whatever it is something like that's the part that has the cost in this heist. Uh-huh. The rest of the stakes of the heist are just, can they pull it off? And then there's going to be a question of like, was it worth it? Like, to some degree. And he may not know what the stakes are right now. It may not be until like he actually starts the heist. Again, in our original break, it wasn't like they were planning on going to hell.
Let's talk about this, which is that we've always talked about out that the real way they're going to get it back is by burning the money in the fires of hell.
Which is the coolest way. Like, at least in terms of a sentence you say out loud.
There's also this sort of dream logic of you burn money on earth and it sends it to heaven. And then it's like in hell, when you've paid your karmic dues, like you get thrown into the fire and then you are burnt and your soul is sent back to earth. So in theory, you could melt the money and it would come back to earth.
Yeah.
So
it's like a jinx double jinx scenario.
Yes, it's a jinx double jinx scenario. So that's always struck me as an interesting thing. The kind of question has always been like, is that enough for right now? Do they realize we're going to have to go to hell?
Or is that the complication?
Or is that the wait a second? Yeah, that
feels like the complication.
Yeah, I think in the original break, they were doing something else, and then it closed off, and they had to go
to
hell.
In the original, when we had been brainstorming it, so the other thing that we haven't done yet is we had that there was this psychic medium kid.
Yes.
Like, that we were going to do that there is a kid on Earth who is, like, you know, someone who can see, like, both sides, right?
Yes, because it's essentially their cell phone.
Blade the Daywalker.
It was essentially their cell phone between the people that are in heaven and the people that are still alive on earth, which is fun. Like,
again, a little loopier than what we have right now. Because that was like back when we had like more like of a telephone. And then it was going to be the kid plays them at the end and steals the money and then donates it all to the poor.
Oh, cross. Yeah.
And we could do something like that with the brother.
The idea is that Jim became a good person in our original break.
Okay. All right. So.
Well, so again, I go back to why not the first plan, use the ghost festival.
It's still the mechanism of how does the fake money become real money.
Okay, so, I mean, again, start with something obvious and then tweak around it. Why not have a cocoa bridge? You know?
Okay.
And they get it over the cocoa. They get it over the cocoa bridge.
They go
bridge.
Over cocoa bridge, and then what, the money becomes
and
real?
It's this ethereal world, and they realize it's like, oh yeah, this is the conduit of goods. We got on the good superhighway, and then they get on the highway. They drop it off at the nearest temple.
Look,
and that's
like,
where they're going to pick it up.
Yes, I like doing our own world building. We've established talking dogs. We've established Whoopsie the Whale and boats that go across the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it would make sense that the afterlife has some way to engage in the real world.
Yes.
Right. Like, there's whatever your religion is, there's the idea of miracles. There's the burning bush in the Old Testament. Like, there's ways that things happen. So, like, clearly there's a way that if there is something that the afterlife needs to engage with the real world. And again, in hell, you could even see that, like, you know, maybe the devil's the one who puts, you know, that, you know, $1,000 that appears between two angry family members because just to make them fight over each other. And it's like, ha, ha, like that sort of stuff. So, like, how do they do that? And rather than like the problem with the festivals, I don't like. I actually don't think they should have, like, we got to do it at this time on this festival. And I just don't, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, whereas, like, I can making, for the mechanisms, the benefit of the festival is it gives you a clear gate or something. I think the gate's the good part. I think the festival is extraneous and actually complicates some things. Like, why don't we come up with, like, is there, like, a train yard? Is there, like, a big pit? Is there, like, do they have to break into the higher gates of heaven where, like, you know, the enlightened ones are allowed to interact with the humans? Like, you know, is there, like, I think coming up with where there is some sort of teleport is
okay. Hear me out. If you can send miracles back to earth, right? Like, you know, your people pray, right? And it's like, you hear your prayers, you're like, oh, I want to do something, right? And if there's some sort of miracle service, right? Like, or if you're in hell, you can curse people, right? If you're mad, like, you can bribe a guy and curse somebody.
So one thing to get into heaven, we've set up this idea that there's enlightened people. Mm-hmm. I think the enlightened people they're trustworthy enough that they're allowed to interact with people on earth. So when people on earth pray for help, in the Western civilization you call it a miracle, other cultures have another thing, but like, they, when somebody really holy prays, like, please save this church, the people who are enlightened understand that the answer is not to throw the money. The answer is a kind word or inspiration or karmic, again, something. They sense something past there, right? Like, an idiot like Jin, if he heard prayers, he would just, like, try to solve it. That's why only enlightened people who are in a different level of
understanding of the universe
can undo it. So the fun of that would be, it would be like, they would have to get, they're like, hey, there's one person in the enlightened world that loves these dumplings, so you get delivered every once in a while, and they have to, like, break into his house.
I would say, I don't want it to be enlightened people, because I think it undermines the kind of mythology you've already set up, which is that when you're enlightened, you're just transcending to...
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's what I would say. They're praying to Kai Shen at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. You could do that. Oh, only gods can do miracles, right?
Okay.
You're going to need to find a god that would be down to do this, right? You need a god
on
your
side.
You need a man on the inside. And so you could do that. It's Kai Shen.
He's got a
He's the god of wealth and prosperity.
Yeah,
right?
So then he's got to use his grandma's Holy Eats bike to go and give Kai Shen the dumplings he likes and stake out Kai Shen's house. And then he finds the miracle well or whatever it is in the house that allows Kai Shen to interact with our world. And they're like, that's our exit. And then they have like a thing they got to figure out. It's like, where does it go out? Like, how does that work? And then again, I would do something where it's like the heist is like he needs his brother
needs
to
his
be
brother
praying.
To pray to Kai Shen for wealth.
For wealth. At the same time they do it. They have to synchronize their watches. Like, yes. I'll get my brother to pray. Yeah, at like 3:32 or whatever, and that's when you guys got to drop the money. Okay. Otherwise, it will go someplace else. Who knows where it'll go?
So wait, so I think Tai Shen, but either one.
Tai Shen, yeah,
either one, it's fine. So he's
breaking
like,
into a god's
so
house
like
is very fun.
So he's like the rich dude in Ocean's 11, the casino owner, basically.
Yes, you do that. Well, you do that again, like there's gods of different stuff, right?
Yeah.
So yes, you heal because there's gods to pray to for. You know, it's like the Greek gods, right? The other, and they're like, this is our guy. Right.
Yeah.
And then you do. Oh, by the way, him making gin because he remembers that gin's the guy who flicked the cigarette into him.
Very good.
Surprised you're up here. Like sort of thing. That's okay. You're only a waiter.
Or that's
it's okay.
Really fun.
You work at Uber Eats here. That's okay. Okay, that's good. I like the. It's like, it gives you another twist.
Need
in the
a man
heist.
On the inside.
You know, now you're beginning to see the plan. There's like three things that have to go right. They have to break into the bank. One of them has to be in Kai Shen's house, having like distracted him in order to get access to this miracle well.
They've
got to
get
Earth,
the money, and then they've got to get it.
They
got
to synchronize it, and then on Earth, like Jin would have to. It's tough because like you obviously Jin's going to be on. You'd probably have Jin on Earth then.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like if part of the synchronization is like getting his brother to like. Pray or something like we'll figure that out when we get there. Who cares about that? But the point being is like, I see how the heist is all coming together. Like they have three things that have to go right. Like somebody on Earth has to be doing something. They're gonna have to get the money out of heaven and have this God's house open and ready for them to sneak in and then throw the money in at the same time that something's happening on Earth. It's a pretty good setup for a heist. There's a lot going on. And it gives you like, it's going to be fun to like how are you going to, again, I love the idea of Jin using his grandma's bike to like go stake out this like, dude's house.
Oh, she
like,
uses the bike. And you know how the bikes will sometimes have little pizza warmers at the back of it? But instead of pizza, it's full of money.
Wait.
Yeah, because that's how they're sneaking the gold in.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get like
a bunch of dumpling orders in this one spot.
It looks like Kai Shen ordered 12,000 pizzas.
Mm-mm. They're setting up because they know Kai Shen's throwing a big party later. Like in a couple of days.
Oh,
Kai
that
Shen's
could
throwing,
be the thing.
And
yes.
That's how they're going to use all the
Kai
bikes.
Shen is, he's doing a heaven jam for all the other gods.
Because within part of the plan is going to be to convince Kai Shen to not use their favorite dumpling place in heaven that he usually uses, but his grandma's place. And it's promising that indeed they're good enough to cater the entire. You might have to switch a little bit where she should be delivering her own dumplings or something. Mm-hmm. And she gets this big order that's like super amazing. She can't believe it, but he's using this just to screw. So he's going to screw her over in heaven,
yes,
too.
Yes, he's going to screw over her, his grandmother. He's going to, you know, he's going to defile this god's sacred miracles well.
And steal money from heaven.
Yeah.
Like, Jin's doing the worst thing ever.
Oh, what? I mean, you know how, like, sometimes, like, you know, like when the Kentucky Derby happens, it's just a bunch of rich people use it as an excuse to have parties. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as a ghost festival. It's like, oh, yeah, people are calling their ancestors, but we gods are going to party it up today. No work today, baby.
Sure, he can be doing it because there's a ghost day for him or whatever it is.
Well, no, everyone else is. It's like a holiday. And he's like, okay, yeah, we're going to have a rich.
Sai Shen's massive rager. Like, he went once every millennium, he throws a party. And you can also do like that.
He always uses his favorite pizza place.
You can always do that fucking Coco shit, too, where he invites like one person from the human realm heaven, right? Like, he's like, one lucky mortal soul will get to go to the party and hang out with gods all day.
Oh, here's some fun stuff that we can do in the second draft to set up is you should totally do. It should be his grandma's dumplings are. This is our dumpling. His grandma's dumpling recipe is really good. And that could be a thing that they make at dinner, like they're just like a famous family recipe. Mm-hmm. And again, so when she's in heaven, like grandma's just hustling, grandma's trying to sell her dumplings everywhere because she's like, I used to make the best dumplings on earth, now I make the best dumplings in heaven or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she goes around selling her own dumplings on her little
that's
cart.
A fun little sequence.
And then like that's the whole thing is like he's got to find a way to get Kai Shen to taste the dumplings and be like, this is the restaurant to fucking cater your place, not the pizza place you do every millennium,
not Domino's,
not Papa John's.
Papa John's. Wait, what?
Papa John's with oh no, it should be Chipotle. With
Ashton Kutcher.
That's who always.
That's right. It's Kutcher. Every time it's Kutcher.
But Chipotle has catered this for the last 80,000 years.
Even before
that. Okay.
And this is the first time we have Ashton Kutcher coming.
Hey, it's me.
Oh, he's got to get Ashton Kutcher to switch sponsoring Chipotle to join his grandma's dumpling
place. Ashton Kutcher dead?
They kill Ashton Kutcher. To get Ashton Kutcher
in
heaven.
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden he opens the door. He's like, Ashton Kutcher, Ashton. I love your work in Two and a Half Men. What are you doing here?
You just hit him with a blow dart. We need your help. And then it's just like, we'll bring you back to your body after you help me glad hand the god of wealth and prosperity.
Oh, no, they're just going around telling everybody that I'm not really associated with Chipotle anymore. I'm actually working at this cool dumpling place. You should give it a shot.
I was going to say, you have a very fun little kooky action scene where it's him on the Vespa and he has to take out the delivery driver that's delivering like the food Kai Shen.
Yes.
And then he skids up and he's like, you know, like, here's your dumplings. I didn't order dumplings. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like,
that's good.
And then, yes, Kai Shen tastes them.
Oh, mixed up. I guess I can just take it. I'm hungry now, though. I'll take them. Hey, shit, these are good dumplings or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fun. That's another thing that Jin is going to have to do later.
Yes. Okay, that's fun.
Now, hold on, just real quick, as just the characterization of our god, which is puts us in some blasphemous territory. Is he a god of wealth? Is a god of wealth the kind of guy who stiffs them on the tip, or is he the kind of guy who's like, have a $10,000 tip, I don't care, ooh.
I've got a tip for you, don't stare at the sun.
Oh, it's definitely more fun that he is a huge tipper, because that's why, again, I think catering for him is like...
That's a big deal.
The idea that the grandma's like, oh, I couldn't possibly get to him yet, like, I'm just trying to make my
the tips alone will set you up in heaven for a millennium. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's like, I'm just trying to get known around the east side before I really start spreading my, until I buy a few more bikes and franchise this place across the rest of heaven. She's ambitious, but she's not an idiot. So the idea that, he's the big grab.
And he's going to do his grandma dirty by fucking this up for her?
Yeah.
Because then it's like to throw all the dumplings out and sneak gold in instead?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the heist, is they have to break into heaven, steal the money from the bank, get the money to the party by disguising it as a delivery truck, and then sneak in as caterers and dump the delivery into the well.
Into Taishan's miracle
portal. Taishan's miracle well. But when they get in there.
Karma well, or something. We'll come up with a good name.
But when they get
Western.
In there, the heaven cops are onto them and the portal sends them to hell instead.
Or they're made and they got the money.
Yeah, that's for future us.
So
in this scene, what he's going
to
find
out
is.
That's fun. Just to interrupt, that's fun because it gives you the heist goes wrong at the bank and now they're in the car chase and they've got to lose the cops before they can get to the party and like that kind of fun shit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the way they get made is the god himself. Like, there's no dumplings anywhere. Where he opens his door and he sees him with all his gold about to toss it into like the miracle well. He's like, you're not going anywhere. And like he, you know, swings his finger and the miracle well turns into a portal in hell and he kicks them all in and he sends them to hell.
Yeah.
And then they're like falling through hell
it's
with
like,
all
very
their money.
Well, you shall enjoy your money in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
And the hell.
Oh,
of
good
thousand-
thing I had this hell trap door installed in my place.
Well, he can just. Bang his old wand, and then it goes turns from a glowy white portal to a glowy red portal, and I think we all pretty much get it.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we had the same thought, which was just in my head, I imagined it as the portal just changed colors. Like,
that's
hell.
Cinema. That's red the international now. Language.
Real quick, just for visually, he's often depicted riding a black tiger and holding a golden rod.
That's so fucking awesome.
He may also be depicted with an iron tool capable of turning stone and iron into gold.
I mean,
him just riding a tiger all the time.
I mean, he's definitely like 30 feet tall, too, head.
Yeah.
Like, they open this huge door, and they open it, and there's just a giant tiger's face, like, screaming.
Yeah, no, he's always riding the tiger. Yeah. Yes, and he's 70 feet huge.
Hello there.
What is the meaning of this?
Oh, I don't know this. Oh, don't worry, just give me those dumplings, and when he grabs them, they get big. Yeah.
Deliveries are in the back. Jeez.
Okay, that's very fun.
Like this huge guy eating one tiny dumpling and being like, these are
the
amazing.
The flavor's so good.
Our tummies are tiny.
Tell your grandmother we'll take 20 million. It's like,
Oh, perfect.
That's actually pretty good. I like that.
That's really good. And you get this fun character in heaven.
Yeah.
In this world building. We're probably stepping into some unknown territory with Buddhism and various depictions of God. So,
Well, Kai Chen would be like not specifically Buddhist. That would be.
There's Buddhists who think he's pretty rad. Though Taishen is a Chinese folk deity, many Pure Land Buddhists venerate him as a Buddha. He's a full-on a Buddha. In esoteric Buddhist schools, he is often identified as Jampala. Anyway.
All right. Well,
listen, we've already passed. Why are we worried about this? We're 20 episodes into this shit. We're past the blasphemy point.
And the point
of
is they do something bad and get sent to hell for doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, as long as I think as you see that, you know, Sai Shen is like a benevolent and jolly fellow, you know, who's like, you know, just trying to be a cool god, you know.
Yeah, he's just doing
like,
his thing.
He's just throwing his big feast and banquet for all of heaven.
He should definitely throw the feast for like all gods of all different, like, right? So you got like Pan in there. You got like,
are you doing the thing that like all religions are there? Like
at least for the parties,
like Jesus shows up.
Like at least for the parties,
the other religions exist.
Oh, actually, so you can do like, because there's all these different levels of heaven as well. Like, and there's like, you know, like, because it's depending on how good you were in your life, you go to different realms. And so like you could do like, it's like, you know, like one of the hell realms is the Asura realm, which is for sort of deities or, you know, people that ascended to like a really higher level of heaven and then got kicked out. You're like in the Asura realm where you're like this like vengeful, scheming lord, and you have this palace and you have all this wealth, but like all you can think about is your fights and feuds with other lords in the realms. You'd be like, oh great, who let the Asuras in or whatever.
Small thing that I saw here just about Sai Shen. I'm looking at a promotional video for a slot machine called Sai Shen's Gold, and it's just a big jolly like smiling dude and there's just gold everywhere. Maybe it doesn't fit, but I was thinking about the brother and thinking about Hong Kong and how like gambling is just a part of everyone's thing, like betting on horses and betting on like races and stuff like that. Just kind of culturally part of like Hong Kong living for a lot of folks. The idea that like, you know, his holy brother's still doing something good, but it's maybe at the, I don't know, at the casino or something. And then he looks over and he sees like the Sai Shen's gold, like slot machine paying out someone. He's like, wait a minute. As a way of also like, you need someone on the inside. You need someone like a god level. It's, who could it be? Yeah, anyway.
Well, yeah, I think once his brother's going to give him the idea that, and one of the things he would
Okay, I was going to say, if you were going to do that, this is too conflict. Now we're juggling too many things. It would be like, what's Sai Shen's like church? It's the casino.
It's true.
And then what you would do is it's like whiskey has to get into a high stakes poker game with every like violent triad goon in the city, right? Like he's in like a game and he has to pray to Sai Shen at the exact moment they dump all the money through, and then he'll win the entire pot and they'll make their money.
Oh, so then the gold's not actually...
They launder the gold and then it becomes the winnings that he's going to win at the table. Like, you're essentially, it's the miracle.
The only thing that bothers me is that it's not, they don't actually get the money out. It's like physically the money doesn't actually leave.
I mean, they dump the money into the portal and then it becomes...
But the chips are already on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's how it gets converted.
If you were going to do it like this, you could do the miracle is that it's a slot machine. Because then it's just coming forth from this Kai Shen machine. Where like, Whiskey has to put the quarter in at the exact moment and say the prayer and pull the slots. And then if it all works, it'll go ding, 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 ding. And then the money will all spray out.
Now, the slot machine's good, especially if it's like if they're going to use his likeness for these slot machines. Of course, he's gonna have some access from his house to be able to, you know... Fix the
idea. Now, the idea that, so two things there. One, the idea that Jin has to come with like all of this incense and all of these like robes and stuff to make sure that he's as like as holy and as like loud and clear as possible is funny. But then two, the fact that Ms. Wonderful is a gambling addict and won't vacate the machine.
Oh,
it's Miss. Okay, it being Miss Wonderful's casinos, very good. I was trying to think of like it should involve the brother because it should be somebody that has a good holy connection. Like if one of them prays, that's nothing because they're nothing. They have no connection.
The brother
needs to start.
He needs to get his brother to commit the sin of gambling.
Yep, and it's his brother has a thing for brandy. Because you need somebody to take the brother to the casino. And you want Jin in heaven during the heist. That's the most fun. So one of them's going to be on Earth doing the thing with the brother. So, like, and especially if you do that whiskey. If you do whiskey likes Brandon, then Brandon's got to go out and, like, connect with his brother and then, like, take him gambling on a date or whatever. And then, like, they're going to, like, get the brother so into the hole or whatever.
I don't know that the brother's going to go on a date. That feels clunky. Like, if you're going to motivate the brother, it's going to be through his love of Jin. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like, if anything, it would be, I don't know, like, I don't buy it's like his brother who doesn't even fucking know Brandy, his criminal associate, his monk brother. Like, I just like, here's what I'm going to say. I love getting the monk to the casino to gamble on the slot machine. I think is great.
Yeah.
I would almost buy it if you were going to do like that, the gambit, it's like a double bluff kind of thing where they're like, if you could set it up, like, this is very convoluted. It's like a classic, like, you know, confidence con thing, but it's like a double feint thing where he finds out that Jin is in trouble with this mobster, right? And then you would do it, it would be Brandy or someone runs to him with this sob story and like a fake black eye being like, your brother's in trouble. We need, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they go to, you know, the casino. And then if they somehow reverse play it so that Miss Wonderful thinks, you know, like she's going to come up with this idea to make him, to make this monk gamble or something like that. I don't know. That's all I can think.
Yeah, we'll figure it out eventually. Yes, yeah. Somehow, like, I feel like you want the brother to be sincere where it's like the hospital is going to get shut down. He has $1,000 and he puts it all on against stuff because the slot machine is just a quarter. But if it's like,
if it was roulette,
it's like he put the last $1,000 of the hospital on black and being like, if I don't get money, this place, like, please let this win. I need to save the.
They manipulate his brother into gambling. Right?
Yes, essentially.
Because his brother's a holy enough man.
Yes.
That if he gambles, the money will go through.
Yes. And because he's praying, he has a real, he's so holy that when he prays, Session's like, oh, Freddy's praying. I wonder what he wants. And like, again, a good God doesn't just send physical, but like they could, like, again, gods can do whatever they want. Usually he just like sends them like a word of encouragement or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whereas like, yeah, if like Brandy prayed to Session, it wouldn't even register. It's like thousands of people pray every day.
Yeah. So you'd be able to cut to the front of them. I don't think you need to figure all that out
in this scene.
Right now it's just, aha, Kaishen, he can send money to Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gods are the key. And then you would establish, by the way, when they're we'll go back in the second draft, but I think when they're driving around, you'd point out like kind of like frat row or whatever. It's like, oh, that's the gods. Like, these big mansions. That's
where
the gods
live.
They
get cut off by like a god in a souped up, you know, speed roadster or something like that.
Like one of those tricycles.
Yeah.
It's like, God, who even rides those?
Not this motorbike,
those motorcycle tricycles. God, who even does that? Two wheels in the front? Are you fucking kidding me?
I brought that up like a couple weeks ago about how that's like the Cybertrucks could be the new that. Like every rich person with a midlife crisis had to get one of those. What were they called? I forget what they're called. Anyways, okay.
All right, that all feels good. All right, so let's talk about this scene.
Yes.
Because I'm feeling good about all that. That seems like very fun. And yes, I love the idea of having...
Yeah, and I feel fine. We figured out the whole movie.
He ruins the grandma's life. He gets his brother to gamble. And then, you know, sort of
with
like...
With the last of his...
Yes.
And they probably pushed him into a place of financial ruin in order to get... Because they need him to get to that desperate place. Like,
they know
something's wrong. And instead of helping him,
they embezzle the money.
They're spending the time to manipulate him to gamble and pray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're bad people. But instead, he's like, yeah, I'm going to give my brother money when I get this all. Like, I'm going to help him out afterwards.
It's this double reverse con because, yes, you would do whiskey has to con the brother. He's like the new bespectacled accountant for the hospital. And so it's not even that they have to steal all the money. They just have to convince the brother he only has $1,000 left.
It's like Inception. It's like, we can't tell him to pray the... Right?
Yeah, exactly. So he has to be an honest prayer.
He's a holy man.
It needs to be
an honest prayer because he needs to honestly believe he has nothing left.
Yes, and he just needs fortune. He'd never asked for something so material as that before in his life.
This is not for himself.
It's for this hospital.
You can do the fun thing where it's like he's sitting there trying to like take care of me. It's like, we're running out of money. And then like this like adorable kid comes up. It's like, I have a kid cancer and I will die. And then like you see that the kid's just getting paid off by them like around the corner. It's like, all right, I'll take my cut.
What?
It's like they're paying kids to be even more desperate, to be like, oh, the people need me more than ever. You know, like,
wait, who's saying they need me more than ever?
The brother. They're tricking the brother into thinking that
the kids at the
hospital. It's like, hey, listen, we're going to fake some symptoms here, kid. Okay.
They're going in and putting like little fake sores on all the kids in the hospital.
The kids all say like,
we're getting measles. It's like, this is
so
jacked up.
Weird and messed up.
So now the kids say very specific things. They're like, they come and they're like, sir, I think my cough would be better if I had a Texas Instruments 4532. Like, it's machine. They cost $52,000, but I'm pretty sure if we had one. It's like, oh man, my hospital can't afford all these new equipment that
if
these kids need.
If only we had a CAT scan machine like baby one from America that costs. My mom's a doctor in America, Harvard, and she says this is the machine that will cure all of us from smallpox.
Oh no. I can barely afford bedpans this year. Yeah.
Whiskey infiltrates a pharmacy company, like a pharmacological drug company, convinces them to jack up the prices of their basic goods. And it puts them out of business, but Whiskey makes a killing and becomes a farmer bro. He's the new villain of the movie. All right. So let's talk about this scene.
Okay.
So this scene definitely, let's put it in the hospital for sure.
Yes.
Because, yes, we've established, if you cut to the hospital, it's like, okay, this is, you know, the next day of his training, right?
Yes.
Jin's goal is to ask his brother, how do you send stuff back from heaven, right?
Yeah. Does anything from heaven ever come to earth?
That's a weird question.
Yeah. Well, because he's like, they believe in Joss paper, right?
Yes.
So you could be like, hey,
is there
you
like
know.
A reverse Joss
so
paper?
What if it's like, so his brother's like, and so this is your badge, and
oh, bear with
this
me.
Is the snack room, this is how the coffee machine works. Do you have any other questions? Like, yeah, when you die, you know how we send Joss papers? Is there a way to
bear,
send stuff?
Bear with me. His grandma makes great dumplings. The mom and them, they know the recipe, but it's never quite as good. And that's the dumplings they have there. So then the way he can organically bring it up is like, yeah, I was just thinking, you know, Joss paper, I know this is stupid. You know how we send money up there and it goes there? It's like, man, just thinking like, you know, mom makes good dumplings, but if I could just taste grandma's dumplings once, you know, like if I prayed to grandma, you know, I'm just saying, it's like, is there any way her dumplings could come from heaven? Like, is there any way something could come down here? I know it's stupid. I'm just being silly. I just miss her cooking so much. She's like,
It's not
a stupid question. I mean, yeah, I don't know if she would actually make you dumplings, but, you know, there is precedence that, you know, gods or things can send things to Earth or whatever.
Miracles happen every day.
Yeah, like, is that sort of
thing?
Yeah,
like, but how do they happen?
Yeah, but, like, what do you mean?
Specifically.
Specifically. Pulls out no bad. Like, is there a bank up there? Or, like, what? No, is, you know, if gods really feel like they need
If the gods, somebody. Yeah, yeah. It's like, so you're saying the gods do it. It's like, well, I mean, I guess
the way you can bypass over it too, he's like, well, and then it's like his brother keeps talking, and then you got to Jim like, and he's taking notes, and we don't have to hear everything he's saying, and that way Jim can explain it to everybody else. Like, you only want to explain it once.
Yes, you could also do. I'm trying to think if there's a fun cut you could do where could you do the cut to like now he's in the brother's like Bible study group.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
He's like, well, you know, if you really want to hear more about it, you should come to our Bible study group. And he's like, can't you just tell me now? And he's like, and then you cut to like, yeah, like him, like with all these other people, like listening, and he's like writing down notes.
Okay. You could also make it not to do like montage, but you could do his brother starting to talk. And he's like, And then it cuts to him in Bible study. His brother like leans in and sees him in Bibles. He's like literally sitting cross-legged with a bunch of little kids. Mm-hmm. He's like raising his hand for a question. And his brother leans in and sees him at Bible study. He's like, And then it cuts to like, he's in the library of the hospital, like reading theology. He's like, And he's like, I'm really impressed. He's like, and he's like, yes, I figured it out. He slams the book. That's how we're going to do it. His brother comes. He's like, hey, Jim, I just want to say I'm really impressed with you or whatever it is. It's like, oh, yeah, totally. And then you can just cut to, he's like, we're going to the God's houses, gentlemen. I got a lot of research. My brother told me a lot. Here's how we're doing it. Like, I don't know. Then he kind of like, you understand that through these sources, he's figured out this very specific thing.
I guess I want to know specifically what are we playing with
him
brother?
And his
What's
brother.
The turn in the brother's story?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Does the brother reveal the hospital's on hard financial straits?
Oh, that's
you know
good.
I mean?
Oh, you can even see that as they're walking around.
You do, that's like, there's, good. Like, a shitty loan shark, like, roughing up the brother, and he's like, hey. As a result of him spending more time with his brother, he sees this thing his brother's been hiding, right?
Yes.
Like, the classic thing, I know I don't think we have it anymore, we had the brother getting sick at one point, so it would be the brother coughs, and you see the blood, and he's
like,
shit, my blood cough mean brother dead in movie speak.
Okay, yes. In the perfect world, you would do, he's close. Like, and ignoring the specifics, he's like, he's been talking to his brother. He's in Bible study. He's reading his brother's books. He's like, so close. I'm just missing one thing. And then, like, he walks outside and his brother's getting roughed up in the parking lot. And he's like, hey, what the hell? Stay away from my brother or whatever. And his brother tells
like,
him, like,
pay us the money you owe.
Yeah.
It should just be.
And he's like, we're on hard times. And then he's like, it's okay. I didn't want to tell you this, but, like, you know, we're on hard times or whatever. It'd be like,
I've
in that conversation.
To Kai Shen.
Yeah. It's like his brother gives him the final thing. He's like, oh my God, that's great. I mean, that's horrible. I feel really bad for you. He's like, I figured it out. And then he runs. Yeah. And it's like, yes. So like his
that's
brother says something that figures out like the last thing.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good trajectory. It's fun. And you don't have to like understand like it'll be, it's almost humorous that then he's explaining how it's going to work.
Too is
like, what books did he read? What questions did he ask that he came up with this? I was like, yeah, you know. figured it out.
It being Kai Shen should be what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first question he could have Googled, which god is most likely to send you money? He's like, that was the big kicker. I figured out in their houses and the portals and all this. But the one thing I couldn't figure out is which god should we pray to? No, it's funny.
This is all fun. I like that. I like him coming outside and his brother's good. I was just going to say that it should just be, it's not like a loan shark. It's just like someone from like Anthem Blue Cross. Health insurance Tufts. They were like, you're behind on your payments.
The final answer is he's in the book. He's like, I'm so close. And you would do the like, you know, you zoom in on the page and it's like prayer is like pure of heart, holy man or whatever. And he walks outside, the final piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. He walks outside and his brother is in trouble and needs money. And he's like, perfect. And then he explains, like, here's what we need to do.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And who's our target or whatever? My own brother.
He's
pure of heart. There's nobody better than him, and he needs money. So, like, we'll use him as the
chance. But what god are we going to pray? Because you want to throw to Kai Shen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So we don't see... We're seeing Jin kind of think through it.
Yes.
And then the next scene is going to be like... I've got it.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's like the way you get money out of heaven, you know, like the only people who can send stuff out of heaven are gods.
Yes.
Right. And he's like, the god we want to talk to is the god of wealth and prosperity.
Oh, you can even do that there, by the way. He talks to his brother. He's like, well, how? He's like, well, you know, gods, his brother starts talking. He's like, well, of course, it would make sense that gods have the ability to bring stuff on earth. Oh, okay. So we understand that gods can do it. He's like nodding, and you do like a fade in of he's walking through the gardens with his brother. And then you cut to Bible study or whatever, and he cuts to, you know, the study, and he raises his hand. He's like, so what god is most valuable when it comes to gold and stuff? They're like, Kai Shen's like, interesting. And he writes it down. He's like, okay. So it's like he's going to go to Kai Shen. And then he's reading through the theology books.
But I don't get it. Like, people pray all the time, and not everybody's prayers gets answered.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, you know, like the gods hear a lot of prayers, you know?
Yeah.
Some people say that, you know.
Okay, you just do those three things. It's like, you understand. And the final thing is like, yeah, it needs to be a prayer of pure of heart and, you know, of true need or whatever. And he's like,
they only answer the most desperate prayers.
Yeah,
and they only from those the purest of heart, you know?
Yes. And
those kind of take priority.
Yeah. And then he sees his brother outside.
Where am I going to find that?
Yeah. Then he sees his brother outside and he's like, perfect.
Holy shit, I've got it. And then, yes, his brother's getting the crap knocked out of him.
His brother's opening up to him and be like, you know, it's like, I didn't want to tell you this because you got your own thing going on, but it's been great talking to you these past few days. So you're like, oh,
well, yeah, you do. And then you do. Well, it's also him being like, don't worry, brother, I'm going to help you.
Yes.
And then he lifts him up and hugs him. And then you see like the glint in Jin's eyes. Yeah. That's a great shot. And then it's the next scene is like, all right, so here's the scam.
Here's the scam. All right, that's really good.
All right, should we write it?
Yeah, that seems like the scene.
I was feeling good. I feel like we've got all the beats here. We've got the conflict. We've got the dialogue roughed out. Let me dive in and type this up, and then we can read it after the break.
Yes. So stick around.
When we come back.
The scene that we were afraid of.
The scene. It wasn't that bad.
No.
I feel like I've got this movie's coming along. All
right. We solved it.
Hey gang, Jesse here, the founder of Maximum Fun, and with me is Stacey Molsky, who is, among other things, the lady who responds to all of your tweets.
Hi everyone, I also send you newsletters.
So anyway, something really awesome. You, Max Fun listeners, have given us the chance to do something really cool on behalf of our entire community, and we wanted to tell you about it.
Last summer, following the Max Fun Drive, we put all of the enamel pins on sale to $10 and up members, with proceeds going to the National Casa GAL Association for Children.
Your generous support and enthusiasm raised over $100,000. Our bookkeeper, Steph, would be quick to tell me the exact total is $109,025, to be exact.
Your money will go toward pairing kids who've experienced abuse or neglect with court-appointed advocates or guardian ad litem volunteers.
In other words, kids in tough spots will have somebody in their corner. Knowledgeable grown-ups who are on their team through court dates and life upheavals and confusing situations, whatever.
The money we raise together is going to help a lot of kids.
Whether you bought pins or not, you can help us build on that $109,000 foundation. Make a donation to support National CASA GAL and help some of our nation's most vulnerable children at MaximumFun.org/CASA. That's MaximumFun.org/CASA.
And seriously, thank you. Our community rules.
Interior hospital office day. Freddie slides a big stack of paperwork over to Jin in a cramped administrative office at the medical center.
So this is for your background check, and this is the new volunteer packet. And this is the training schedule. Any questions?
Jin gazes off into the distance, lost in nostalgic thought.
You remember Grandma's dumplings?
Huh?
Sorry, I'm just a little distracted. This all sounds great, by the way, but you remember Grandma's dumplings? Remember how good they tasted?
Freddy pats his belly with a wistful sigh.
Oh, do I ever.
Mom just doesn't make them the same, does she? I wonder. Nah, it's crazy.
What, Kyle? What's going on?
No, you're a big, important holy man. You don't have time for my silly religious questions.
You have questions? Religious questions? For me? I mean, please, continue.
You know how we burn Jaws paper for Grandma and it goes up to heaven? Well, I know this is kind of dumb, but is there like a way for her to send stuff to us? Like, I'd give anything to taste one of those dumplings again.
Freddy strokes his chin like a wise contemplative sage.
Your question isn't dumb at all, Kyle. Whom among us doesn't yearn to connect with those we have lost? Grief is a natural part of life, beautiful in its own way.
A beat.
But
I don't think Grandma can send us dumplings from heaven.
Come on, those people up there, and no one's ever sent something back?
That kind of power is beyond mortal souls like ours, Kyle. Only a deity could perform such a miracle.
Deities, huh? Well, tell me more about those deities, brother.
Freddy gets choked up.
I've waited so long to hear you say those words.
Interior, Taoist Temple, Youth Study Room, Day. Jin sits cross-legged on the floor with a semicircle of fifth graders as his brother gives a talk on deities.
And that's how, after 226 million years, the crown prince of the kingdom of pure felicity and majestic heavenly light and ornaments became the Jade Emperor.
The children ooh and ah at the end of Freddy's story.
Yay!
Any questions, children?
Jin shoots his hand up.
Yeah, who's like the guy in charge of money?
Oh, that would be Taishen, the god of wealth and prosperity. His story can be found on the workbook, page 23.
The kids flip through their workbooks. Jin doesn't have one, so he leans over and shares with the kid next to him. Interior Taoist Temple, Youth Study Room, Night. Jin helps Freddy sweep up and stack chairs as the kids file out of the room.
Yeah, but thousands of people pray to Taishen every day, and he doesn't answer every single one. How does he choose which prayers to respond to?
That's a big question, Jin. I don't know if there's really an easy answer.
Jin slumps, disappointed.
But I'm happy you're taking such an interest in spiritual matters. If you like, I can recommend some books for you to study.
Jin looks up, hopeful again. Interior, Lily's apartment, Freddy's bedroom, Night. Jin burns the midnight oil, pouring through stacks of religious texts. Freddy watches him from the doorway, smiling with approval. He quietly slips out of the room and shuts the door. Jin flips through the pages of a thick tome called Prayer for Dummies. His finger stops on a chapter heading, Divine Intervention, or Miracles. Jin traces a sentence with his finger as he reads aloud.
In rare occasions, such as times of dire need, the gods may intervene with a miraculous boon on behalf of the purest of heart.
Jin looks up and takes a contemplative drag off his cigarette.
Purest of heart, huh? Guess that X's me out.
Suddenly, there's a pounding on the front door, and the sounds of shouting voices. Jin gets up and rushes out of the room. Interior, Lily's apartment, living room, Night. Jin steps out and gasps as he sees two snot-nosed triad goons pinning Freddy against the wall. You better pay us the protection money soon, Buster, or that hospital's gonna need a visit to the burn ward.
I'm telling you, we just don't have the money.
Goon number one slugs Freddy in the gut, and he crumples to the floor. Anger flashes on Jin's face.
Hey.
The goons look up and scoff at Jin. Who's this? Your bodyguard? If you can pay him, you can pay us, pal. Jin cracks his knuckles and steps towards the goons.
You're lucky Hong Kong has a world-class healthcare system where even a couple of punks like you can get quality care virtually free of charge.
I love Jin slowly running out of breath as he says that.
He's just so breathless about the idea of the healthcare system.
Jin opens his hand and burns out his own cigarette into his palm while glaring at the two toughs. He curls his palm back up into a fist.
Because you're going to need it.
The goons gulp in fear. Goon number one scowls at Freddy. You better get us that money, man. We'll be back. The goons scurry out of the room and slam the door. Their mom, Lily, calls angrily from the back room.
Who keeps slamming that door out there?
Jin calls back to her.
God, no one, Mom. Jesus Christ. Fuck.
That's not the line in the script, but we'll go with it. Jin helps Freddy off the floor.
Why didn't you tell me you were having money trouble?
I was afraid you'd do something rash. I don't want you to get hurt, Kyle, or hurt somebody else.
Jin, his mind racing, sets Freddy down in a chair. He kneels beside him and puts a sincere look on his face.
Hey, those days are behind me. I'm not a crook anymore, but I'm still your brother, and brothers look out for each other. Let me help you, okay?
He goes up for a hug. Freddy chokes back tears, then gives Jin a big old hug.
I love you, Kyle.
Freddy sobs into his shoulder. Love and guilt battle in Jin's heart, overwhelming him with emotion.
I love you too, bro.
He pats Freddy on the back and tamps his feelings back down into a look of stern determination. He locks eyes with a statuette of Sai Shen sitting on a shelf in the back of the living room.
I love you too.
All right.
That
very
is
good.
What we call a couple of scenes.
That's
a bunch
some
of
character stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Quick note for those, some of you may have noticed that in between scenes, Freddy has converted from Buddhism to Taoism. We've decided to call it audible, and until we hire a cultural sensitivity expert when we shoot the movie, I guess, we're pivoting, and I think we're going to make Freddy a Taoist monk because these gods...
Just to get into it, right? So Chinese folk religion is a weird mishmash of a whole bunch of things. There's a bit of Taoism in there. There's a bit of Buddhism in there. There's like just a light spattering of Confucianism kind of just spritzed around as well. So it's an interesting... So it's interesting to pin down kind of where it is. It's definitely not sort of the idea of like the lesser deities and the sort of praying to the various gods of stuff. It's less a Buddhist thing and more of a Taoist thing. So we think it makes a little more sense to be a Taoist thing. This is, again, us as we're writing it, we're looking things up.
Well, and Sai Shen specifically is more of like a Taoist.
Yeah, and although he does kind of pop up here and there in certain Buddhism like sort of sects, it's more of a Taoism thing. So that's where we're kind of like shifting it, because we're kind of changing as we go. So sometimes that stuff happens.
Change it again.
Pray we do not alter it further.
Will he be Mormon by the end of the script? Stay tuned and find out.
All right.
It's moving along.
We're cooking. I'm just really, really happy that we actually finally have figured out kind of sort
we
of how this
how to
caper is going
to
work.
Heaven. Yay.
Yes.
It now was we sitting in front of us the whole time.
Now it's about how to make it good rather than just like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Will, what's the fan art look like?
No fan art this week, but some really cool news from our Facebook group. Nell Peek and Brandon Riverius Everfolly have started a transcription project for the Story Break backlog. The idea being to do some transcriptions of our previous episodes to get them into text format. If that is something you would like to help out with, it's a really cool project, and you can find it over at storybreakpodcast.fandom.com. Thanks so much to Nell and to Brandon for kicking this off. Nell has uploaded a episode template to the wiki, so go on over and check that out. It's a really cool project.
This is good. No, this is good. You know why?
Why is it good?
Because if anyone ever makes a movie even remotely similar to any of the ideas we generate on Story Break, we can use this as evidence in court to get a fat settlement,
if
baby.
If we use your transcription of our episode in court
to get a
sue
settlement.
A studio to get a settlement, we will give you a cut of the settlement.
Yeah,
I'm putting that in legal binding TMTM right now.
Bounties, baby. Also, this week's read-through section edited by Chad Ellis.
You can check us out on social media at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak and bit.ly/StoryBreakFB for the Facebook group.
There you go. And we're on Maximum Fun. That's a podcast network. It's the best podcast network. You can see us and a whole bunch of other best podcasts at MaximumFun.org. Highly recommended. Just bookmark it.
It's amazing that Maximum Fun does so many podcasts in so many diverse areas with so many different people, yet they are all equally exactly as good as each other. They're all equally perfectly excellent. Just a straight hundreds across the board.
That's crazy.
Boom, 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 boom.
Anyway, thanks very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed this next scene of Heaven Heist. We'll be back once again next week. So until...
What do you think, guys? What's going to happen next week? What's our next... Oh, it's him explaining the plan to the crew.
Yeah,
it's like that. All right, here's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, that'll be easy. We'll just like...
And then
like
it's like the... And then we get to argue about, like, is it the montage, but is the montage happening and we're watching it as it happens? Or is he been explaining it until later? Yeah,
you son of a bitch, I'm in. You should all watch that Rick and Morty episode of the spoof heist. It made me have an existential crisis about this script.
Oh, no. Well, hang on to that existential crisis for one more week. We'll see you next week, everyone. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold. All right.
That's it?
You got to... It's the word thing.
Are we doing the word thing again?
What are we doing?
I thought it was like Matt says
Matt
something funny.
Matt always gets to take us out. That's your secret gift.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, that's
it. Oh, that's it. You blew it this week.
Oh,
bye, everyone.
Add one this week. Right into the trash.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.